Welcome back to Biff, a podcast about superhero TV shows, movies, and oh my god, so many multiverses. My name is Dan Morin, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, John Maltz is here. Hi, John.
I regret to inform you that I have been delayed until November.
And yet you're here. Is this an alternate John Maltz that like ran back in time?
And guess, oh okay. Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah.
So God.
Yeah.
It's not another.
What did he call those? What were those things called? Like the ones that
time
could
wraiths?
Just die.
Oh yeah. Anyways.
Splinter
well, yeah.
versions or something. I can't remember.
Yeah. Yet another Biff point has happened. Guy English is also here. Hi, Guy.
I never noticed how black your eyes were.
Oh.
I'm a Betazoid. Oof.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense when you think about it. Just don't think about it too much. Well, we are back to discuss the goings-on in the worlds of superheroes, TV, movie. Wait, I already did that up front. Never mind. We're back.
No,
we're stuck
you should have just...
It's a time loop.
It's a time loop, exactly. Loop. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
cause and effect.
Yeah. Let's do the time loop again.
Okay. I like that Moltz has already landed two pretty solid Star Trek references.
Well, I've got it on the brain because... Yeah.
We
because
can just end the show now.
Picard started this week.
Me too. I kind of want to talk about that, but...
I haven't watched it.
Oh,
that's not what this show is about. Stop.
Oh, okay. Okay. Stick in the mud, Morin. Let's go. What do you want to
talk
about? I'm
not sticking in the mud. I have a limited time, and I watched the other stuff that I could, so I could talk about trailers and whatever.
So what do you want to start with? We've got... we have some unfinished business for some DC TV shows. The names of
which start with that, because that's where we left off last time. Right?
They slipped my mind.
Previously on Biff.
Previously, yeah, exactly. It's a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
So we went through last episode the DC movie slate that's upcoming, but there is also a bunch of DC Universe TV shows happening, which James Gunn laid out when he basically started talking about the entire slate of things to come. Does this have a name, by the way? Is this still technically the DCEU, or is it?
It's DCU.
He's now just DCU.
Oh, okay. Did they drop the E? Okay.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Because it was confusing.
Yeah, I think they put the E in there to differentiate it from the MCU. And I think James Gunn is smart enough to be
because everybody...
DCU, MCU. People will keep it separate. Yeah. Fine. You know.
So there are, by my count here, 5 shows, one of which is in production, the other 4 of which are still in development. The first one, the one that's actually sort of happening most quickly, I think, is animated, I believe, which is Creature Commandos.
Mm. Right. Yeah.
Which is a property I knew nothing about.
I've heard the name before, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It's so monsters,
it's basically,
right?
Monsters.
Yeah.
It's like Doom Patrol, but with monsters.
Or Very Suicide similar. Squad, but with monsters. Yeah.
Or
so
it's got monsters.
Yeah. The show, it's according to what's known, the show features Amanda Waller with Viola Davis reprising her role. And the team comprises Rick Flagg Sr., Nina Mazursky, Dr. Phosphorus, Eric Frankenstein. Hi, I'm Eric Frankenstein, the bride of Frankenstein, G.I. Robot, and Weasel as a Black Ops unit.
Oh, Weasel.
I know. Is Weasel in, was he in Suicide Squad?
He was in The Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
The Suicide
Squad. Yeah, it's played by James Gunn's brother. Like, that's
of
why
course.
He's,
yeah. So contractually obligated to be in everything.
I kind of like that James Gunn just keeps throwing money at his family. It's fun. They're good, too. Like, I'm not knocking it. I just do think it's fun.
I will say, Sean Gunn, I know probably best prior to Galaxies. He was on, he had a recurring character on Gilmore Girls.
Really?
Yes. And he was very funny. He played a very weird, random character, like recurring character who would show up and was always super eccentric and strange, but very funny. And I knew him from that. And it took me a long time to realize that
so I may
was James
be, I may,
Gunn's brother.
I may be 1 degree of separation away from Sean Gunn and then two from James Gunn.
I don't
know for sure, but my college roommate was in Gilmore Girls.
Oh, that's right. Your college roommate was in Gilmore Girls.
So.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
I don't know if they were in an episode together or not.
Sean Gunn always reminds me of I'm Larry, and this is my cousin Daryl.
a little bit of that energy, yeah.
From like a Bob Newhart kind of show, like he's a member of that family that never actually was on Newhart, but has that same kind of vibe to him. God, those guys always cracked me up. I don't know why. I can't explain it. I haven't seen it in years, but man, I loved it when Larry and Daryl and Daryl would show up. Did I just reveal my age? Because
not just. Oh, that not Bob just. New- no.
Oh, shucks, that no. Bob Newhart. What a guy. What a fella.
Yeah, so, I mean, it feels a little Suicide Squad, I guess, the show. I mean, yeah, premise-wise.
The thing you can,
Suicide you can just, Squad? You can just is say, that a better way know. To say?
Yeah. I mean, the premise sure. is basically, let's take the 1930s, like, black and white monsters and make them a team, more or less, right?
Yes, I guess. I mean, they're not all straight up, like, there's a robot and a weasel, right?
Oh yeah, I guess so. Like, oh yeah,
it's not quite there, but
yeah, okay, I take
it
that
feel, a little bit of this feels yeah. like this would be expensive to do as a live action thing, but if we animated it's right. pretty it's like a lot easier right. So yeah, I don't know, it doesn't really the one thing that's interesting that he talked about with this was that it sort of sets the precedent where they're gonna have characters live action character, like actors like voice their animated versions of their characters, because Viola Davis yeah. will be voicing Amanda Waller.
Yeah, which makes sense. And what if mostly did that?
Right. I mean, and that's, and the MCU kind of tried that with What If, but it wasn't wholly successful. I think in part because
yeah.
the contracts with some of the talent had expired due to the fact that it came out after Endgame. So like,
yeah.
I think that's why they didn't also, have Chris Evans and Scarlett Johansson and Robert Downey Jr., etc.
Yeah. Also, I don't know if you've noticed those names. Kind of bigger names than Sean Gunn.
Sure.
like they, sure. They may be a little There's too that. Busy.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
But yeah, that's going to release on HBO Max sometime in, they said, before the Superman movie, which is scheduled for next July. So sometime in the next 2 years. There you go. Pretty broad. Mm-hmm. The following show is Waller, which is an Amanda Waller live action show, which follows the first season of Peacemaker, but is before the events of the second season of Peacemaker, which is coming, but they haven't scheduled it, is my understanding.
Yeah.
And it's based.
Take your time with that. Is what my suggestion to them. Like the first season was surprisingly good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
For us, yeah. You know, like honestly. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised because I got a fair amount of faith in James Gunn, but I think some of that faith is mostly because Peacemaker legitimately surprised me. I didn't
well, and I think I enjoyed it much. Well, yeah. I mean, I liked the movie. I liked the Suicide Squad pretty well, but I really liked the show more.
I didn't even see the movie. I just went in cold. Yeah. And even with that, I felt like I enjoyed it much more than I expected to.
Yeah,
did not.
Yeah, also,
Didn't. It didn't have like
you
a.
Know, when you think about, and I mean, when you think about the character and what it looks like, who it, you know, who plays him and what he looks like.
Yeah,
you immediately have an idea, and it's sort of starts out like that, but it's deeper than that.
And I do like John Cena, actually. I think he's done. He's,
I know, but you sort of think him of just good work. Like,
but yeah, that character felt. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Doesn't John Cena speak Mandarin? Famous because he had
I think so, right.
To the PRC for something. Yeah. I forget what.
Saying Taiwan was a country or something.
Like, yeah, probably.
You know, the usual.
Yeah. What do you normally definitely have to apologize to China for?
yeah. Let's veer into geopolitics. Anybody got any Israeli opinions?
Sharp left turn. Yeah. One thing I did want to note about this show, which I think would... guy of particular interest to you, James Gunn said that one of the people developing the show is Jeremy Carver, who was a writer and producer on Supernatural and a showrunner on Supernatural for a while. So there you go. That's there's our we've checked both the Star Trek and Supernatural.
if you're following along at home.
Have I called you Sammy on the show? Because I feel like every now and then I do, and nobody knows.
Certainly called him.
Nobody knows where that comes from. Yeah. Anyway, it's not from Supernatural, so there you go.
And I think also he worked on, I don't know if he was he the showrunner? He worked on Doom Patrol as well, so that's probably where the connection comes in.
Which is, I think I've seen the first season and a half. It's good. I legitimately like it. I like that it exists. It is, for me, in the 90s, not necessarily for me now. Like, I like watching it, but I need to be in a certain state of mind. And I don't mean like jazz gummies or anything. I just mean like it's engaging, and you kind of want to pay attention to it, but it's also deeply weird.
Yes, I liked the
which is cool, but you got to have a taste for it.
Yeah, I liked the first season, and then I started like trying to dive into the second season right after that, and I was like, I can't do this right now. So I watched like one or two episodes and was like, I'm not, like you said, I'm not in the mindset for this at the moment, but I appreciate what they have done.
Me too. And I like it. You just need to take a breather. And unfortunately for me, if I take a breather and I don't come back to it for a couple of weeks, I'm knee deep in season five of TNG again.
That's my move.
You fell off the wagon again?
Don't steal my move.
Yeah. I'm not even joking. I'm on season 7, episode 6 right now of TNG again for some reason.
I think
I was trying to cram them all.
I've watched it so much that I'm watching Voyager now.
You're one of two people to tell me they're watching Voyager right now. There you go.
It is the order of things. Right. There you go. Deep Space Nine reference. Jem'Hadar versus the Mandalorians. That's what we need.
I would read that comic book one-off series.
it would definitely be a comic book. Yeah.
Any other thoughts on Waller? I mean, Viola Davis.
I like
is
it.
A,
Viola Davis obviously deserves. Yeah. She can hold down a show. She's incredible. Just like an incredible actor. It remains a little weird to me how many just great powerhouse actors we've managed to trick into doing superhero stuff. sure. I guess the money's good, right?
Yeah,
and,
right.
You know, you're an actor. And I am intrigued to see where this goes. I liked that in Peacemaker, she had a complicated relationship with her daughter. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Waller herself, kind of an interesting character. I like the Cadmus stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And she's kind of a bad guy, right? Like,
she's in a gray area. For sure. I should also
more so than Fury. Like, they're both screw the rules, I'm going to do what I need to do kind of guys. Or
we should also mention the other person attached to it is Crystal Henry, who is, among other things, wrote one episode at least. And I don't know if she was also on the staff of Watchmen. So, you know, that's heck of a pedigree there, too.
Sure
so,
is.
Wasn't one of them involved with Arrow? And I looked up their.
I don't. Did Jeremy Carver work on Arrow? I don't
know. No. There was a woman who worked on Arrow that I think wrote some of her favorite episodes.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I'll have to go look it up. This is what we get for doing this show every 2 weeks and me not remembering anything, you know, beyond 5 hours ago, unless it's word for word a Star Trek thing.
Following that up, we've got Lanterns. Now, this is interesting because this is not the Greg Berlanti Green Lantern show that was previously in development and got as far as casting.
He seems to have been ushered out, probably with a big.
I think, they parachute. Wanted to make a clean break from the Berlanti Arrowverse stuff, even though that's, I don't think that's necessarily what that show was, but it seems like, you know, they're just in a position of being able to clean house and clean the slate and do whatever they want. And so,
And hopefully that went well. I mean, there's only one captain at a time, right? On the USS Enterprise.
sure.
unless it's Jericho.
Yeah, right.
What's his name? Yeah. but basically, you've had your run running the CW stuff just in order to kind of take a whole new clean slate, kindly. Leave, I guess. I don't know how to put it, but if you get too many chefs in the kitchen, things get messed up, right? And just by dint of personality or previous position in the company, like somebody like that may carry a bunch of weight. I don't know what to compare it to. It's like if Johnny Ive didn't leave. He didn't do the job anymore, but didn't leave. People are still going to be asking Johnny. They're still going to be asking Johnny Ive, like, what do you think we should do with this, right? So,
well, I mean, on the Marvel side, there's what's his face, Perlmutter? Is that his name?
Oh yeah, but that's very different because he runs like a separate
right. Yeah. But they pushed him into a corner basically.
Yes,
so that he's not like because he kept trying to like. Throw his weight around, and Feige was like, no, I'm in charge here.
How is that? Yeah. Like, he's got to have some kind of element in it. Like, some.
I don't mean
like blackmail or anything. I just mean like somebody's got to really appreciate what he does, but like,
not
God
many
knows
people
who,
seem
because
to at
I don't,
this point,
he doesn't
sure.
seem well liked at all. Yeah. Well, they have some loyalty to him, which is
it would be
admirable, but
you know, for anybody else.
Yeah, exactly. In theory, yeah, it's not like IBM in the old days that never laid anybody off. It's like, you know.
Let's see. So yeah, the Green Lantern show is basically going to focus on Hal Jordan and John Stewart. Yeah, I mean, classic. That's
great
the ones
picks.
You go with,
I
right?
Mean,
I mean,
kind of the obvious ones.
I feel like the.
You could go with Guy Gardner.
It's a bad place, a harder sell.
I think you bring him in after you've got an established, you know,
because he's
feel.
A great counterpoint
exactly.
to the existing characters.
Yeah. I liked him in JLE, Justice League Europe back in the
Batman
day.
Punched
when
him,
I was kind of
punched
more
him and knocked him
one.
Out.
And had even always beat, just punched him and took his ring. That's funny.
But I mean, you know, I think Green Lantern is a big potential franchise that really they tried to do once and got pretty squandered with the Ryan Reynolds movie. Like, it was not good.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds and Taika Waititi. And was it Blake
Lively? That's where they met, actually. Directed by Martin Campbell, who directed a couple of the Brosnan Bond movies.
And has Taika Waititi in it.
It should have worked.
Yeah, and it has Angela Bassett as Amanda Waller.
Really,
I mean, like,
worked,
there's a lot in there. It just was not super well done. And it was also, we should mention, Greg Berlanti and Mark Guggenheim. Before they did,
so
around
CW,
the time I guess the Arrow was starting up. Anyways, you can just ignore that, pretend it never happened, and, you know, try to go boldly into a new Green Lantern, because there's a lot of there's a lot of cool, like, Green Lantern, like, world building and backstory and all of that that's fun and interesting. Yeah. And it seems like they're approaching it as a, like, almost like a crime series, which I thought was intriguing. So, because they're space cops, right? Like, that's who the Green Lanterns are, and that's what makes them interesting and kind of distinct from a lot of the other superheroes, is that they have this sort of organization that has rules and, like, structure to it,
and they distrust the upper brass, which happens to be these little blue guys, little blue Yodas called the Guardians. I like it. I dig it. I think it's a good idea. I don't.
Yes.
Yeah. They said it was going to be a true detective.
He said it's almost
true
detective
each,
with a couple of Green Lanterns revolving around a dark mystery the pair discover while monitoring Earth, which follows into the main narrative of the DCU. So, I'm excited about that. I like the Green Lantern.
Should be great.
Like, I like Green Lantern a lot. I think it's, you know, it's one of the major DC properties that they really have not gone back to after that terrible movie.
Yeah,
I think it's easier
it's difficult
now
to realize,
for sure. But you also need to, like,
I don't just mean the CG
stuff. I think
stuff
the concept is a little
still
bit, is a little bit weird.
Limited by. It's a
well,
very
it you,
real heady concept.
I think it
very
much depends how you,
it's kind of concept, like, just whatever he imagines.
Yeah. I think it depends how you envision it and structure it, right? Like, having them structured as, like, more like the focusing on the Green Lantern core aspect of, like, these are space cops and they're people who monitor Earth and what's going on here. And, like, not to say downplaying the powers, but, like you said, figuring out everything else that's, like, not a power, not a thing you can solve by, like, I made a fist that's green and punches people, right? Like, it's like having Barry always run faster, right?
Yeah.
That's not interesting. So what you do with it,
Or getting, like, just you know, imagining it up like an AA cannon or like a racetrack, which I think happens. Like, I think you depower them enough so that it feels like they're actually cops working a beat. More than, like, anything I can imagine, I can realize immediately. I think that's probably the way to go. So, good luck to them. I think I'm intrigued by that one for sure. No word if our boy
Don't hold your breath.
Yeah, I would not hold your breath.
I doubt it. But
I know he's great.
I liked him. He was honestly one of the better parts of that whole show. Like, if you, I remember in the first season just really liking him as the driver, and he's kind of already figured it out. Not, I don't know if he's figured out that he's Arrow, there's but he's figured out that, like, this guy's right?
And he's,
up to
and
no
he's
good.
The guy who is grounded and is constantly having to, like, reel him back in, but also at the same time roll his eyes. be right. exasperated by everything that he does.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it that, I was almost more annoyed when they put him in the suit, like they gave him a super suit kind of thing. I liked
that's about when he's just a normal guy.
And I particularly, I also particularly liked that they gave him that character quirk of, like, he just always pukes whenever Barry runs him someplace fast. Because I'm like, that is super relatable. Yes,
I was always annoyed
exactly
that they like this. They worked themselves into this weird corner where they kind of were like, we're going to make you the Green, like, we're going to hint at you being the Green Lantern. We're effectively going to point out that you were John Stewart. And then they just, like, yanked the rug out from under that. And I thought it was, I don't know if you watched the Flash episode where they literally pulled the rug out from under that entire concept. And were like, nope, it turns out it was actually some evil, like, alien intelligence.
Oh, really?
Or something. Oh, it's bad. What? It is bad.
I didn't know.
That's like
the
one episode I watched last season just to see, like, David Ramsey's showing up and they're going to answer it. And he, like, goes to talk to Thawne on Leanne Yu or something. And then Thawne tries. Oh, God, it's so bad. It's so bad.
What is Thawne, Australia
it just
now?
Made me,
like,
angry.
What's he doing?
I watched it and I was just angry. Anyways. All right. We got two other shows that are in the basically the furthest out, one of which is called Paradise Lost. And is basically on Themyscira and focusing on the Amazons, which James Gunn has compared to essentially kind of something Game of Thronesy. All right. Interesting.
Yeah. I kind of dig this idea too. I did not, I wouldn't have come up with it. It seems a little weird. I can understand why you as a business person may pitch this and be like, you know what? We've got this civilization of women who have internal struggles, political struggles, I imagine. That's interesting and sellable, right? Like, you can go to your boss and be like, hey, what do you think about beautiful women in political struggles? And it's going to be, yeah, okay, put it on HBO. Hopefully, they've got a real hook here because...
They aren't characters that I'm super...
It's just the premise.
It needs a little bit more, right? Yes. It needs one more hook.
That's what I mean.
I think.
Agreed.
Yeah. Right. That's the lay of the land. Now, what's happening and what's at stake? And please don't make it. The world is going to get killed. Or what's his name has a mother box that they got to keep. Like,
every
needs to be something there, right?
This is my approach sometimes as a writer is like when you're, anytime you're reading like the back of a book, right? You're like, oh, what's this book about? And you flip it over, right? The first line is always, this character exists in this world. And then the second line is, when something happens, blah, 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 right? Like, what's the inciting event? And I think that's what we, you know, and then maybe they're just kind of far out here, but that's the big question is, what is the inciting event that makes that setup interesting beyond just its setting?
I imagine, or maybe not, just because Black Panther did this, but like do we venture out? Like, what is our policy and why are we so not engaged in the world? And what are we doing with ourselves?
Right.
Because that's a bit of the Wonder Woman thing, right? Like, Diana actually goes out into the world. And that's
one of the interesting things about it is
culture,
also that
at least for,
it is a cast that would be 100% women.
Pretty darn close, right? I mean, your bad guy could be a man, but
I think there is something interesting in telling a story. I think I think it's an interesting story to tell that there is just like, you know, a society of entirely women that have their own thing going on, and I don't know, that
like,
seems like it could be.
It's
an
not like there
setup.
Haven't been shows that have been heavily male dominated.
Yeah, absolutely,
it's perfectly fine.
Well, I was just gonna say,
So,
I mean. Are there any women in Chernobyl?
I don't know. There's that. Yeah, there's a science.
There is. Sorry, there is. But whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
who is not actually
a knock on Craig Mazin or anything like that. Right.
Too, I think. But.
Yeah, yeah. But what I mean is like, sorry, that's a retelling of historical events, which are totally right. dominated by men in the Soviet Union and elsewhere at the time. But yeah, I think if they manage to get the political intrigue interesting enough, I think it could be really engaging, and I'll probably watch it. I honestly would rather watch that than Barry learning to run again or whatever. And I'm sorry to bash Barry, but whatever. We may praise him by the end of this episode.
We'll see. So. Yeah. And then the last thing in development is the Booster Gold series, which he described as the superhero equivalent of imposter syndrome.
I heard casting ideas, and I've got one in the back of my mind. Who do you think for Booster Gold?
I feel like there's a lot of possibilities.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know an answer for this. No, off the top of my head.
I hadn't thought about it either. I don't know.
Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, I mean, Fillion, he's good.
I think he's a little too old now.
Yeah, I think that's the challenge.
I think he's too old, but that kind of goes with the character of being, like, and wanting, like I just want some kind of fame.
I've got my pick.
And I know he's pals with Gunn.
Ben Schwartz.
Ben Schwartz would be great. Yes.
I think he'd be funny.
Have you guys seen House of Lies?
No.
It's got Ben Schwartz.
He also voiced, in case you've seen the recent episodes of The Bad Batch, in the very bizarre pod racing episode, he voices the droid driver that one.
Yeah.
Who is the best part of that? Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, he would be great. And if you haven't seen House of Lies with Rhodey, check it out. It's really good. It's got Kristen. Wow,
Kristen Bell.
Holy cow!
I don't know why are you on these shows,
Kristen Bell.
Why do Kristen I Bell's try with names? Well. Kristen Bell's in it. Yeah, Cheadle, Don Cheadle's in it, and that guy's in it. And there's another one in their pot, and it is. Remarkably
which also
good.
Mentioned yeah. Booster Gold did briefly appear in the Arrowverse played by Donald Faison from Scrubs never to be resolved plot line because the show got canceled.
I thought he was good. Great.
I love Donald Faison.
I'd bring him back.
But he
particularly fit into the Legends.
It worked well vibe, yes, you know? And I would have liked to see more, but alas, such as that. And then in addition, there are a couple other things floating around there, including Peacemaker season 2. There is a series, there is a Penguin series that is currently being produced, I believe, which is part of the Elseworlds lineup, along with a couple other Batman.
That's a show I definitely don't need. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll probably check it out. I liked the Batman enough, and I think depending on what that show was about, it could be interesting. But
it could end up being very good. I mean, there are definitely other. You know, I didn't think that I needed Andor probably. So, and I definitely needed Andor.
I knew I didn't need Andor. I was like, oh god, what are they doing with this? Like, I didn't have a complaint with Diego Luna at all. But man. You?
Yeah, see? Sometimes
the world
it entirely depends.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. That is basically where we're at for the DC TV slate. A lot of stuff coming, and I'm sure we will definitely talk about a lot of it, and maybe we'll cover some of it in depth, depending on how we're feeling about the particular shows when they roll around.
And if Kevin Feige is good to his word, which are we going to talk about that?
I think we should spend the remainder of the time talking about the trailers that we got, and maybe next time we talk about what Kevin Feige said about slowing down.
We should slow it down now
because we can wrap that up with our. We can figure out what we're going to do.
Really slow.
I mean, I really it has to be an episode where somebody's just being like, "Take it easy, just slow down, Barry."
Barry's just lying on the couch for a week.
Yeah, I do feel like having watched enough of those episodes, that's what happens half the time is one character just runs too fast to a conclusion.
I mean, that happens to me all the time. I run too fast. I get tired. Mm-hmm. I take a break.
Sure.
It's just the way it is.
Slow down, Dan.
Let's talk about a couple trailers. Should we lead into the
I guess we
Flash?
Segue into the Flash.
Yeah, why not?
I just rewatched this trailer. Many conflicting thoughts about this movie. I don't know. Some of it based on stuff outside of the range of this movie, but some of it also just like Their trailer is unsurprisingly very frenetic, and there's a lot of stuff going on that's kind of hard to track. I hate the fact that when I remember watching Justice League many years ago, I thought the Flash was one of the best parts of that movie. And
yeah, Wally West on that the cartoon. You're talking about, right?
The Flash, the Justice League, the movie,
the Snyder.
Oh,
the Snyder movie.
Yeah,
a movie that I thought was pretty bad, but I thought the Flash was one of the few redeeming parts of that movie.
Yeah,
in the Snyder cut. Even better,
which is
kind of
makes it all the more unfortunate that actor has had so many personal problems and run-ins with the law that I feel like I don't really want to
enjoy the character.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I feel very conflicted about that. So,
two things. Let's talk about the character as Barry, because Ezra Miller really annoys me, and I think they are probably a menace to themselves and certainly to others.
Yeah.
And that's not something I want to celebrate at all. Also, we screw up the genders constantly, and I it kills me having to try to edit it to try to make it seem good, and I don't like it's because I'm I used to work I used to work at Bogamiba, and we did an app called Radio Shift where you would record the radio, and we would get bug reports from people being very annoyed that they didn't get their crazy right-wing talk radio recorded properly. And I'm like, I will fix this because I'm a professional, but I don't care. Like, I'm angry about it. I'm angry about having to do this. And that's kind of the same way I feel about it.
Have you watched...
correcting our misgendering, like our screw up for Ezra Miller is like, again.
Okay.
I have not yet. I'm dying to watch it though. Yeah.
There's a very, there's a very delightful bit in there about right wing talk radio. one of the episodes.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Like Rush Limbaugh didn't record. Yeah. Good. But that's it. I've made your life better with my stupid mistake. That's what happened. Anyway.
Yeah.
That said,
I enjoyed the trailer
frenetic,
quite a bit. I would say, but, I think, I mean, it looked fun.
What you percentage know, of your and, enjoyment was Michael Keaton based?
A lot of it is Michael Keaton. but I sort of forgot that Supergirl was in this movie.
Yeah, same.
So I was like, oh, that's right. There's Supergirl. That's kind of cool. And it's another, like, we got that story in the Arrowverse, but it's another chance. It's been a few years since that was done, so I feel like maybe I'm ready to watch another version of it at this point.
Character has basically nothing in common with the TV adaptation, which is fine. Like,
yeah.
You're going to do it different, as we've discussed before, and it feels very much
but
like
still,
that's
it's,
what they're
it's
doing.
The same basic. I mean, like, you know, his mother's dead. He goes, you know, he
finds. Oh yeah, sorry, I meant the Supergirl specifically.
Yes.
But yes.
Oh yeah, Supergirl, very different. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Oh yeah, she feels more like a Cadmus kind of. I don't think it is. I think she felt it and they captured her kind of vibe. So what's the premise? Basically, Barry runs, and reverses time and creates
a world without metahumans.
According to the trailer, creates a world without metahumans. I don't think we've heard the word metahumans before. So
I think it has been used in some of the DCEU stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Definitely. I mean, obviously Arrowverse stuff all over the place. But I don't remember.
Yeah. Sorry. I meant the.
I thought maybe
the
it had been mentioned before, but I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Yeah. You know, it'd be fun. Metamorpho. He'd be fun. Barry creates a world without heroes, except guess what? In a world without any superheroes, we still have...
do it in the voice.
Michael Keaton.
In a world
Michael
without
Keaton.
Any superheroes.
In I thought you meant the...
I'm back. Voice.
No,
not that
what,
voice.
What's already fascinating, too, about this is the trailer features... And like, we're not pulling punches for the movie. The trailer features both Ben Affleck and Michael Keaton. So we already have that set up like within the confines of the trailer. Like, okay, there's going to be multiple Batmans. Everybody brace yourselves.
It's maximum Batman.
We've never had a time when there have been more Batman.
I know.
We are awash.
I mean,
Batman.
Honestly, just throw Robert Pattinson some money. He's well, maybe it was a little funny, too emo into it.
There's
like,
one just, scene in that trailer, you know, where he's driving the motorcycle.
It looks identical to Christian Bale.
It's the, it's the Tumblr motorcycle or whatever. And I was like, do they also get Christian Bale? Is it like, do we not know that there are more Batman in here? I don't think so, but still.
Do you know what I specifically like is that suit is the cape is very blue. It's like comic book blue, like not black and I'm going to, you know, string you from the ceiling and yell at you. It's blue like I'm going to sock you on the jaw and then tie you up with a thank you note like next to the police station.
My other question about this is like, I'm kind of fascinated because we see Michael Keaton in the Batman suit and it's a take on the Batman suit from the Tim Burton movies.
Yeah.
The original Tim Burton movie. We don't see Michael Keaton not in the cowl, which is interesting because now I'm not 100% sure if they're going at this from a he's like old Batman or he's like are they de-aging him? Like I don't really know how they're playing that.
Right.
I just want him in jeans and a black turtleneck. And like he did that before Steve Jobs, and he looked amazing in it. Like I'm like, no wonder Kim Basinger wants to get with this guy. Man, that movie is great. I really, really love that movie. I even like this. I like the second one too, where it's Batman versus a horde of penguins with missiles on their back. That's awesome. Like, what a fun, weird thing. And for some reason, despite the fact that that Batman engaged with no superheroes at all, he immediately fits in this world, right? Like, he's obviously hyper compared to where he was in the, 89?
Right.
But when he goes and takes out those thugs, I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing. That's just the best. And I love Michael Keaton's, like, they give you the payoff. All you want to hear is have Michael Keaton say, I'm Batman. And they show it to you in the trailer. And I'm like, yeah, okay, here's my money. Why? For that moment, but I will go and watch it on a bigger screen because I love it. It's amazing.
They're also, one of the central things about this seems to be there's two berries. Two different universes.
Yes. Yeah.
I also wanted to say I really like I think at one point it's clear they're wearing different Flash outfits, the two of them.
Yeah, yeah. There's one shot where there's like a one wearing
Well, no,
black,
not that one. One later on in the plane when they're both sitting in the plane and the button at the end.
Yeah.
They're not wearing their cowls or helmets or whatever, but their uniforms are slightly different.
Yeah.
And I want to say I liked the suit we see here much better than the Justice League version of the Flash suit, which always struck me as weird and kind of
I agree.
Do you mean the non-armored
one?
Yeah, I agree. And there's a scene where they their heels meet up and they push off each other to run.
That one I was
that, those like those you can get
one of them's like black in that
almost,
one. I don't know.
It's black, it's got some red in it too, but
I gotta imagine they're keeping some
here. But I mean, like, and we have the return of Zod as well.
Yes, that's right. Michael Shannon.
I was not expecting that part either. So that was like, they're going back and, you know, which, I mean, we kind of knew that they were going to go back and do some reset stuff of some kind, obviously, because that James Gunn has said, this is how we get to the new DCU. And, seeing it is believing and it's kind of cool and interesting to see what they might be doing here.
Yeah. I was shocked to see Michael Shannon back. And I know this is wrong and weird of me, but I always think of Michael Shannon as being very close to his character in Boardwalk Empire, which is not a character that would show up to play a supervillain very much. Like a very... he's very stern to himself and not a well-balanced kind of guy. I really enjoyed it because it seems like we're revisiting the events that set off the current DCEU.
Right.
DCU being the new stuff, DCEU being the previous Snyder directed kind of stuff. Just as names to distinguish the two. And it does seem like Barry's maybe going to mess with that, which would, I guess, by necessity, fix/change everything.
Right, or at least clear the decks in such a way that you can kind of do whatever you want after that, right? That seems to be where we're headed here. Like, we know that that's the case. And we also don't know how much stuff was altered after the fact. Like, I don't, this movie has been in production for a super long time, right? Like, it has been delayed, I think, several times as well, due to both the pandemic and also just other stuff. And so I'm kind of curious to know, because I'm sure there were some edits and stuff like after the fact, and that they, you know, took some of it back and changed some stuff to figure out where the direction was. So you don't end up with a weird narrative cul-de-sac like that post-credit scene in Black Adam, right? Where it's like, let's talk. Oh, nope. Neither of you will ever be seen again. Goodbye.
There's one shot I want to call out, because I've been scrubbing back and forth through this trailer as we've been talking about it. Because there's the whole thing about Barry and wanting to see his mom be alive again, and that's how this whole thing starts. And then, but there's a shot of someone's hand. So you talked about seeing Bruce in a turtleneck. There's a hand that's touching an old picture of a family, which I think has to be Bruce and his parents.
Well, I was wondering about that.
And because the knuckles are all bruised, which I think is a great little bit of detail for, showing, Batman, his knuckles would be bruised because he's constantly punching things. And he's also seemingly wearing a sweater. So you may get your wish, guy.
Oh, perfect. Man, I own a black turtleneck, and it's not for Steve Jobs. It's 100% for Michael Keaton.
Did you take Michael Keaton's black turtleneck? That is, don't be a jerk.
Man, if Michael Caine had a black turtleneck, I'd be in seventh heaven. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be great. It seems like they've been lavish with what they've revealed, and yet we don't really have any kind of idea about... I guess we do know where they're going to go, right? Like, we know what the lineup is going to be. I guess we don't know how they're going to...
Hey, good news. There, the best news about this movie is my wife has 0% interest in anything DC related because she hates all the previous movies. And I'll probably just go see this in the movie theater by myself.
Yeah, you should marry her. That's... good call. We've only got like a little bit of time left, so why don't we move on to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 trailer.
So we had a trailer a couple months ago that was like a teaser, which I thought was a pretty effective teaser. And this one, obviously, this is more of a little more fleshed out. I wouldn't say it gives us it gives us a little bit more of the plot.
Gives us a lot of
feelings. That seems to be what they're capitalizing on here most of all is...
I mean, the end, right?
It's the end, right? Yeah. And the end of a lot of, I think, also reminding us that we're wrapping down a lot of the last phase MCU stuff in general. So, it's nice. I'm glad that they're doing, it has a finite end. The Guardians feels like a story that could go on forever, right? Because you could just keep shuffling the roster, basically, if you really wanted to, the Avengers. True. But I'm glad that they are deciding there's an end here.
Yeah. I mean, I think Dave Bautista said he's done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think they're all done. I think that the Guardians is finished. Yeah. I don't expect any of those people. One or two of them might show up, but I don't expect, there's no Guardian stories, I think, from here on out, unless they reboot it all with a whole new lineup.
I remember when they...
lineup.
Right. When Marvel canned, or Disney canned James Gunn for being... an edgelord, which kind of does rub me the wrong way. Like, I don't think that was a good choice. I didn't at the time, but I can see it. I can, but whatever. They got trolled by right-wing idiots into getting rid of James Gunn. I know Dave Bautista for sure was like, I'm not doing another one. I don't care what my contract says. Yeah. I'm just not doing it, which is a very, if you're a man as big as Dave Bautista, that you get to, yes. Correct. Yeah, that's badass. But I did get a real sense that all of them were like, well, without him, we're not doing it. And he's obviously now moved on. So why? I don't think that... Who would you give it to and have that same sort of sensibility? Because I think it's a delicate... Yeah. It's more delicate than an Avengers movie,
I think that's
movie,
the
right?
thing, like, though, is you would just change the entire tone. Like, it would just be... Whoever took it on would make it their own, I think, is the correct way
to handle
that.
That's what they would have to
do, I don't think... I think you would... Yeah. frankly, I think you would let it sit for quite some time if you...
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything to be gained.
And shuffle the deck, make them all
different. Right, exactly. Levels. You need to change the roster entirely and have a different vibe. Yeah. And I honestly think there's probably not enough to gain from that right now. There's so much stuff that it's just, not really. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I did like that, I think James Gunn mastodoned or tooted something about the Guardians recently. Maybe I'm making that up. Yeah. I don't know. He seems supportive of the whole notion, which is nice. Yeah. I guess, obviously, he stands to benefit somehow from the movie. Sure. But it's nice that this whole thing is being treated in, like, a grown-up fashion. Like, it's not a CW worth of, like, angst going on here. It's just like, well, this is business, and here, you know.
But, I mean, there hasn't been, like, it's not like, you know, we're cutting James Gunn off from, like, even talking about, like, you know, contractually, he can't talk about the Guardians of the Galaxy anymore because he's, you know, gone over the other side. It's like, they're just, you know, it's a thing. They're like, yeah, it's cool. It's fine.
Yeah, they're done.
Yeah. So, what do we think about the trailer?
It's fun. I mean,
feels final. Feels,
you know,
fun.
There's enough humor in it that makes it, you know, while it does seem like, oh, gosh, someone's going to die, and it's going to be sad. But it looks funny as at the same time. So, and you know, and there's also a lot of like, and I think there's a lot of that throughout. There's a lot of pain in these movies too, right? And it's that's kind of the point is that it's these people who, you know, as they said in the first movie, well, they're losers. They have dealt with a lot of loss in their lives, and it's about them coming together to to help heal their themselves. And we find out more about Rocket, obviously, because the High Evolutionary is a jerk. And he seems like he could be a good villain. And it's weird. It's always weird to me to see Will Poulter as this freaking stud after like the first thing that I saw him in was that Narnia movie where he's this weaselly little kid.
I just watched him in a he was in an Agatha Christie adaptation that was, I want to say, I don't know if it was BBC or something did it, but he was really great in that. He's one of the lead characters. And you could also tell that he had considerably like bulked up even in that. But I really like him as an actor. I think he's an interesting guy. And I don't know much about Adam Warlock. I mean, obviously we saw him teased at the end of Guardians 2. Is he another one of like guy who starts as bad guy, but is actually a good guy because misunderstandings or.
Well, so it's something like that. I think. Yeah.
Yeah, so they've changed him a lot from the comic book, so it's kind of difficult to say. He was sort of critical in defeating Thanos with the Endgame stuff in the comics.
Right.
The Infinity Gauntlet stuff in the comics ended up with Adam Warlock sucking
him
on the job.
Oh, yeah, I kind of remember this.
I forget. Like, he's involved in that somehow because he's mega powerful. This is interesting because he's there clearly blowing up stuff on that Earth-like planet. And yet, clearly, our enemy is the High Evolutionary. Played amazingly by the guy from
Peacemaker.
Peacemaker again, whose name I forget because guess what? It's a name. Bob, Frank, you guys know what his name is?
Chikuri Iwuji.
Chikuri Iwuji. There you go. Yeah, I am intrigued by this because clearly, so the first movie is basically what Gamora's dad is mad at them, as played by Lee Pace.
He's not Gamora's dad.
Gamora's dad, but yeah,
that's Ronan.
No, and sorry, not played, but like as his avatar, his heavy is Leaf Base in that movie, Ronan. The second one is
Star-Lord's dad.
Wow, holy cow, what is going on with me today? Yeah, Star-Lord's dad.
Today?
Who, it's not, I'm not
this
always
is, this.
This
is worse than usual, fair enough.
Yeah, wow. Anyway, so the second one is about Star-Lord's dad, and the third one is, I believe, about Rocket's dad.
Yeah.
You know, like the all of the father figures, and like the whole thing being about family, in kind of a, you know, a Fast X sort of way. feels right, but it's working. And I do think that the through line through all of these movies and what made them work is ultimately the sort of family angle. How Adam Warlock plays into that, I don't think he does that much, you know what I mean? So much as maybe an inciting incident or like
he's some, a rogue element.
Something that brings him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, something that given the Christmas special, I think maybe they have something nice going on, and then it is ruined. It is taken from
them. I enjoy that's just China. Like generally how stories work. There's something nice, and then it gets ruined.
Well, yeah. I know. But the specifics of this appear to be Adam Warlock shows up and to try to kick their ass for whatever.
Well, it's the...
What, Rocket stole some batteries in the last
end
movie,
of the last...
Like some minor thing turns into something really big that's, right. You know,
the,
like,
I believe the end of the last movie, it's the whatchamacallit, the gold people, right? Whatever, who are the...
Yeah.
They are like he's in like a coffin or something at the end in the post credit scene. So I gather they're still
perfectly genetically engineered.
They're pissed at Star-Lord and now are like
they'll send him
maybe
after.
send Adam Warlock after him.
I did like their version of fighting, which was to basically play arcade games a la Last Starfighter. Do you remember that? Like they're flying around in simulators. And they're controlling the little robot drones that are actually attacking the ship. And as they get blown up, the guy's like, oh, God, I lost. And like they swap in the next guy. Because they're too good to actually get
it. And Kevin at the end screws it up, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm glad that the Guardians is... I really liked the first movie, but over time, I think the ethos of the Guardians of the Galaxy has worn on me a little bit. I found the second movie not as... compelling so
despite having one of my favorite actors in it he's like
what's his name guy
holy cow
what's his name, guy? Russell Jesus
Kirk Russell. Holy guacamole.
One of my favorite actors whose name I cannot remember.
What is happening to me? I think I'm gonna have to go see a doctor. Like this is not good. Kurt Russell, great performance. Did it matter? No, I didn't get as many vibes from it. Little moments, I got some vibes, but
I liked
it.
I mean, I liked the contrast between him and you see, now I'm gonna do it.
See,
I don't have this kind of time.
I start doubting myself as soon as I start doubting myself. I can't.
His adoptive father, basically.
Yondu. Yeah!
You did it.
Played by...
Kurt Russell. Oh,
Walking Dead.
No,
Walking
Michael
Dead Dude.
Brooker. Jesus.
Yeah, Michael he's Walking Shannon. Dead Dude.
All right, I'm done with this.
Wow. You are really going to rich, Kurt. We've got 1 minute left before you want to leave. So. Michael McDonald, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm glad that there's a... I'm glad that there seems to be a whole story arc in the works, is what I think.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it. So.
Right.
Yeah,
and it's nice to have a little bit of when you have the overlap between the phases of the Marvel Universe, you're gonna have we have things that are starting up and we have things that are winding down at any given time, almost, except for the beginning where everything's winding up. So I'm ready for something to wind down to get it off the plate, I guess, because it seems like their plate's pretty full.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. Which is good news, something that we can talk about next time when we discuss why the MCU is hitting a new phase to be continued. So we'll be talking about that in our next episode, about what the current status of the MCU is and how stuff is slowing down there a little bit, and some comments Kevin Feige's made. But till then, I want to remind everybody out there that you can email us with your questions, your comments, your thoughts at biff@theincomparable.com. We are also on Mastodon at biff@zeppelinflights, zeppelin.flights, I should say, which is the Incomparable instance on Mastodon. You can find a lot of your favorite shows there, including A Complicated Profession. Yeah.
Nice, you finally pitched your own show.
Yeah, finally.
That's great.
Got it.
Yeah, I would do it, well, but I can't remember the name of it because I don't
know. We're coming
know.
Back in a couple of weeks because The Mandalorian is back, so we'll be back weekly episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so hit us up there. We still monitor the EpicCast account on Twitter, but it's fairly inactive. So,
I don't.
I keep an eye on it every once in a while.
Okay, good. I just don't go to Twitter anymore.
Yeah, I don't either. But I never I never had access to the account in the first place.
Well, that was for the best.
I know it's not. It's not you.
We
it's
gave
me.
It to you.
It's
you just didn't
me.
Want to.
I never logged in.
Yeah. I mean, I put it in your calendar for
that's
crying
why.
Out loud.
That's why I didn't log in.
Right. Hey, Dan, thanks for moving the BiffCast account from Biff at Mastodon.social, which people may have been following, over to Biff at Zeppelin.flights, which is what people should be following now. Biff
and
at
if,
Zeppelin.
If you were already
at Biff.
If
Zeppelin.
You were already following it, you should have automatically gotten moved over. If you didn't, you can find us there.
Thanks for doing
that. No problem. And that is all from us this week. Of course, I would like to thank my co-host, as always, John Maltz. Thanks for being here.
There's nothing I like more than talking to you two guys, whatever your names are.
You stole
my... I know. I knew that was going to be your line.
He was worried you might forget it.
I couldn't think of anything else, though.
You!
Frank!
To the moon!
I'm going to get you, Frank.
Guy English, always a pleasure.
Fly together into the sky. Now I can't even remember the quote that I wanted to keep from the end of the Galaxy trailer, which is
sorry. I heard you say garlic galaxy.
That's what I heard too.
Garlic galaxy.
Is that the Mario movie?
That sounds delicious.
It does sound delicious.
I haven't had lunch yet.
Maybe that's it. You need a little.
See,
maybe
that's
calories.
Sugar low.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm off to run to Quantumania. Well, so see you guys.
Have fun. And everybody out there, thanks for listening and reading the transcripts. We appreciate it. Hey, maybe we should get actual transcripts someday. Now this show's too hard to do transcripts of. We appreciate you tuning in, and we will see you next time.
We'll try it. Okay. Bye.